Good evening, everyone. We start a new series tonight in the book of 1 John, which is on page 1225 of the church Bibles. Please put up your hand if you need a Bible, and one of the welcome team will bring one over to you. Let me read 1 John, the first four verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Amen. This is God's word to us this evening. Please open up your Bibles at the book of 1 John. As the band are taking their seats, let me pray. Our Father in heaven, as we turn to your word together, we ask for your help that we can understand what we read, that we can believe what it says, and then we can live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was approaching my 15th birthday, a good friend of mine said that as a present, he would like to get me a new jacket. There was a particular designer at the time who was all the rage. And apparently my friend Tony had an uncle who could get me one on the cheap. Needless to say, when the jacket arrived, it hadn't been anywhere near a reputable fashion house. The only similarity was if you squinted your eyes from a distance, the logo looked vaguely similar. It was a huge and not particularly good fake. Wearing it was like sandpaper. After the first week, two buttons had fallen off. After the second week, the zip never worked again. And after the third week, it was confined to the dustbin of life marked learning experience. We live in a world where anything can be faked. Clothes, handbags, watches, people. Sadly, we live in a world where even Christians can be fakes. And fake Christians do a lot of damage to themselves and do a lot of damage to local churches like ours. And to spot a fake, any fake, even a Christian who's a fake, we need to know what is actually real. As we turn this evening to the first in a series in 1 John, we've called this Real Christianity. 1 John is a book for Christians to examine themselves against. 1 John is a book where Christians will discover whether or not the relationship that they have with the Lord Jesus and with his Father is the real deal, or whether we're deceiving ourselves. Think of it like this. Imagine on the way home tonight, I find a nice, shiny little diamond lying at the side of the road. The next day, tomorrow, I will take it to a specialist. You know, one of those guys with the little eyepiece that holds it up and examines it for flaws and looks for the cut and whether or not it is real or whether it is fake. John, the author of this book, is like a Christian diamond specialist, as it were. He was an apostle chosen by our Lord Jesus Christ. He was one of the first disciples, along with his brother James. By the time this letter was written to his spiritual children, Christians who he cared for deeply, he was likely an old man and probably the last of the last living apostle. But as we look at this book of 1 John, he tells us what it is to have a real relationship with God. John tells us that if we have genuine faith in the Lord Jesus, that will lead to eternal life. He's a specialist who says, yes, this is real and that is fake. He's someone who will pull no punches and say, yes, you're worshiping the living God. No, I have no idea what you're doing. Is there a verse that will help us as we start this book together? Well, look at verse 3. John says, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John says that real Christianity is based on fellowship, a close personal relationship with God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, which starts now and lasts forever. What does that mean? Well, let's look at what a real Christianity expert tells us as we look at these verses. And he says this: real Christianity, first of all, is about a real man. It's worth identifying who John is talking about in verses 1 to 3. Some of the words and phrases that he uses can be a little confusing. Verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. Did you notice that phrase, that which was from the beginning? And at the end of the verse, the word of life. Look down at verse 2. John says, the life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life. John is using these different terms to describe the real Lord Jesus Christ. That phrase, that which was from the beginning, that's an echo of the start of John's gospel, where Jesus is described as the Word of God, the one who was with God in the beginning, the one who is God. It's also an echo of the very start of our Bibles, Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John wants us to join some of these dots together, and he wants us to understand that Jesus is the eternal God who appeared as a real man and is very much real. The eternal God took on flesh and really was born at Bethlehem. He really lived in Nazareth. He really worked as a carpenter. And at the age of 30, he really began his public ministry. He really spoke and called people to turn from their sins and come follow him. He really did miracles. He really ate and drank. He really was handed over to his enemies and was crucified outside of Jerusalem. He really rose 3 days later. He really ascended back to his Father. And he really is coming back once more to judge the world. John wants us to be certain that this man Jesus is real. He wasn't just seen in a vision in a cave by someone. He wasn't a cleverly invented story by John to con weak-minded people. He didn't appear as a phantom or a ghost. People knew that he was real and made of real stuff. And John calls Jesus the word of life, and the life, and the eternal life for an important reason. John uses these titles for Jesus because through the real live Jesus, God communicates to human beings like you and I his real message of life, of eternal life. Real Christianity is about a real man, Jesus Christ, who gives us life, a close relationship with the living God that will last forever. It's about a real man. But John says he was seen by real people. Look again at verse 2. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. John stresses that the Lord Jesus lived at a real point in history, was seen by real people. He appeared to us. Now, John there is not saying that he appeared to you and me today. He's saying that he appeared to him and the other apostles, those men who had been specially chosen by the Lord Jesus, those men who were real people, who experienced Jesus by hearing him and seeing him and looking at him, and their hands touched him. Verse 1 says they heard Jesus. Jesus was someone who had a recognizable Galilean accent, probably as recognizable as my Glaswegian one. He was someone the apostles heard. He preached and they listened and he prayed and they heard those things. They saw him with their eyes. He had recognizable features. We're told at the end of John's gospel that these apostles saw the nail marks in his hands. The apostles looked at him and they touched him. It's as if they carefully examined this real man, Jesus. Now, I'm no fan of the Antiques Roadshow. Now, many of you may well be. That's fine. But on the Antiques Roadshow, people bring their stuff along to an expert. And the expert carefully scrutinizes what the person has brought along. And that person is desperately hoping that what they've brought along, their junk that they've been lying in the attic for years, is worth thousands of pounds. Now, the antique specialist, they don't stand from 10 yards and look at it and say, well, it's maybe worth 50 quid. No. They're right there. Sometimes they've got special gloves on, and they're looking over it. And if it's porcelain, you ever seen them do this? They nibble on the edge to make sure that it's the real deal and it's not been falsified in some way. Recently, one of the BBC sports presenters brought the FA Cup to be valued. Now, a cynical part of me was desperately hoping that it was made out of old melted down tin cans and it was carefully painted and it was worthless. But when the specialist looked at it in great detail, it was valued at over £1 million. It was genuine silver. My point, John, a real Christianity expert, saw, touched, handled the real Jesus. He closely scrutinized him, both before his crucifixion and after his resurrection. And John tells us that Jesus is the real deal. The word of life who offers us eternal life. And he tells us these things so that we would believe in Jesus and experience this life for ourselves. Real Christianity is about a real man, seen by real people. And they bring us into a real relationship with God. Why does John want us to know that Jesus is a real man and that he really saw him? Well, John knows that all of us need a real relationship with God. Look again at verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard,
so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
If we were to sum up in one word the experience that John and the other apostles had in their time with Jesus, fellowship would be a good one. In John's day, the word fellowship meant sharing. So think of the church lunches we have here. We share our food together. We share our time together, our lives together. In John's day, it was most frequently used of marriage. That most intimate of human relationships where everything is shared. As the apostles lived for 3 years with Jesus, they had real fellowship. They shared their life with Jesus. Jesus shared his life with them. And as they trusted and understood and believed that Jesus is the eternal God who alone dealt with their sin and rose again, something amazing happened. Yes, their sins were forgiven. But as that happened, the apostles began to have a real relationship with God, a real relationship with Jesus, a close personal relationship, a fellowship, a sharing that would last forever. Christianity is most often pictured, in our country anyway, as a list of do's and don'ts. John says, no. It is a close personal relationship with God. And John testifies this to us because this relationship is not one that comes naturally to us. We're not born with it. In fact, we need a miracle to happen. When God made the world, Adam and Eve, they were created with this wonderful relationship. They had fellowship with God. They had eternal life. But when they sinned, when they rebelled against God, when they thought that they knew better than God and turned against him, they ruined it. The close relationship was destroyed. Suddenly, there was no eternal life. Death came into the world. All they deserved was God's punishment. And all of us have followed Adam and Eve's example. We've all turned against God. We've all followed their pattern. We've all thought that we knew better than God and we didn't need to listen to him. On our own, we don't deserve eternal life. We only deserve eternal punishment. Yet John says here that fellowship can once more be restored. How? Well, John says, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us. The relationship is restored as we enter into fellowship with the apostles. John is saying to us, a real Christianity expert, if we want a real relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, if we want eternal life, then we must believe the testimony of the apostles about the life, death, resurrection, ascension, and return of Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian, there is only one way to have this eternal life. It is by trusting the apostles' message. It is by believing what they say about Jesus Christ. You need to turn from your sins and believe in him. And when you trust in him, as you trust in him, eternal life is granted. It may sound slightly odd to us tonight, but outside of the apostles, John is saying that there is no real relationship with God. Outside of the apostles, there is no real Christianity. How do we apply this to ourselves as Christians tonight here at EEFC? Well, I think there are at least three ways. Now, the first one might sound obvious, but it is really worth stating. And it's this. Real Christianity starts with the apostles. I'm a fan of the Tour de France. And for the first 3 weeks in July, every year. It may seem odd, but I really get engrossed by watching the Peloton and seeing who's king of the mountains and all those things. Now, 2 years ago in 2014, you might remember that the Tour de France started, the Grand Départ, as they call it, started in the very French town of Leeds in Yorkshire. This year, on the 2nd of July, Saturday the 2nd of July, if Chris Froome and Team Sky turn up in Leeds for the start of the Tour de France, they're in for a real shock. No one else will be there, because the start of the Tour de France this year is at Mont Saint-Michel in Normandy. And that's because the start of the race starts at a different place every year. By contrast, John, our expert, says to us that a real relationship with God always starts in the same place. It doesn't change each year. It doesn't change with each person or each country. Now, of course, every single Christian has a unique miracle story to tell of how they came to faith in the Lord Jesus. But it always begins by believing the apostles' testimony about Jesus. What has amazed me this week is that when Jesus called John to leave his fishing net behind and to come follow him, Jesus had our fellowship with God in mind. Jesus knew that when he was walking beside the Sea of Galilee and the day that he called him, that I and every other Christian who would follow after them would need to believe John's testimony about Jesus. And therefore, a close personal relationship with God doesn't start because you feel some way spiritual. It doesn't start by having some kind of special knowledge. It doesn't start because you're born into it or you went up on a mountainside to find yourself. A real relationship with God doesn't start with the Quran and Muhammad or with Buddha. And it doesn't start on terms that I am comfortable with and that I decide. Listen to our expert. He doesn't mess around. He doesn't give us false hope. He says it starts by believing the word of life. That life-giving message about Jesus Christ. And if we think that we've started a real relationship with God outside of the apostles, then John would say to us, it's fake. It is not real. Real Christianity starts with the apostles. But real Christianity also sticks with the apostles. You see, our expert tells us that a real relationship begins with the apostles. But it makes no sense to move away from them, to go anywhere else. I wonder if you've heard the term, the acid test. You heard that term? Yeah. It's a test of whether or not something is genuine. In the 1700s, I'm told that gold prospectors and gold miners and gold dealers needed a way of discovering whether the gold that had been mined was real or whether it was fake. And what someone came up with was that if you put it in a bath of nitric acid, all the other metals would dissolve away and all that you were left with was gold. That is the acid test. Yeah, you've learned something new, eh? Great. But that is the acid test. Is this gold genuine? Let's put it in a bath of nitric acid and find out. But I wonder if John would say to us tonight that an acid test to discover whether or not our fellowship with God is real is whether, having started, we're still listening and believing what the apostles say. What do I mean? Well, when the apostles began to be called by Jesus, they wanted to spend time with him. They wanted to hang out with him. If you read the start of John's gospel, as some of us did this morning, they were desperate to spend time with Jesus. And as they spent time with Jesus, He began to change them. His priorities started to become their priorities. His loves started to become their loves. His hates became their hates. What Jesus thought was most important was what the apostles started to think was most important. Now, it didn't happen overnight, but as they spent time with Jesus, these changes started to occur in their lives. And I think John is telling us that if our Christianity is real, then these changes will start to occur in our lives as well. It's the apostles, including John, who through the New Testament tell us what real Christianity, following Jesus day by day by day, looks like. The apostles wrote, guided by the Holy Spirit, all that Jesus wants us to know. And as we read their words, it's like we get to hang out with Jesus. Really. As they tell us what he's like, we spend time with Jesus. If we want to know the things that he said and did and taught, the apostles tell us. If we want to know what it means to live a life that is pleasing to God, the apostles tell us. If we want to avoid worshiping false gods and being taken off the track of eternal life, the apostles tell us. We need to stick with them. If we want to mature in our faith, we've got to stick with the apostles. A real relationship is a real relationship. As we stick with the apostles, with the help of the Holy Spirit, listening to what they say, meeting Jesus in his words, we can have the same quality of relationship with God, the Father and the Son, that those men who saw him did. That's incredible. But we've got to stick with the apostles. That's what real Christianity is. Lastly, real Christianity also declares with the apostles. Look at verse 4. We write this to make our joy complete. The consequence of a close relationship with God that is made possible only through the apostles is joy. Now, you might notice a little footnote in your Bible that says the word our could mean your. So either the apostles are brought great joy as others are brought into fellowship with God, or it could refer to the joy that Christians experience as they enter into fellowship with God. Both are true. Either way, the apostles' message is one that is supposed to be declared and testified and passed on down through the ages. Once we enter into fellowship with God, real Christianity will always involve us opening our mouths and telling others the word of life. I remember the night one of my closest friends became a Christian. His name was Shuggy. Okay, don't Glaswegians have great names? His name was Shuggy. Shuggy was a lad who didn't want anything to do with Jesus. He didn't want to know. He'd rejected time after time after time. And then one night, he heard again a message that he must have heard so many times. But that night, the Lord Jesus opened his heart and he received eternal life. And to see the joy that he started to experience and the joy that we felt as his friends was amazing. It is a great joy when someone you know and love becomes a Christian and enters into real fellowship with God themselves. I wonder, we heard Linda being very honest about family members, people that she loves. We've all got people that we know and love. I wonder this week if you'll take that opportunity to declare the Lord Jesus once more. Because this might be the week where he opens their heart and they receive eternal life. Real Christianity will always involve opening our mouths and declaring the apostles' message. I've got to close. I'm really excited about this new series in 1 John. Real Christianity, our expert says, about a real man, seen by real people, who brings us into a real relationship with God. How do you feel when I said that this is a book we have to examine ourselves against? Will you listen to what he says, this expert? Will you obey the advice that he gives? Will we truly see if our faith is genuine, if our worship is of the true and living God? Will we see if we have the eternal life that the Lord Jesus so richly offers? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that the real Lord Jesus was seen by real men. And we are brought into a real relationship with you through them. Would over this term, we be those who are willing to examine ourselves against this book. Would our faith be found to be genuine. Father, we ask that you would remove any falseness or deception or anything that would hinder us from truly following you, both now, this week, and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.